We're talking about the deregulation of media and the consolidation of radio. My guest, John Hogan, is the CEO of Clear Channel Radio. It owned about 40 radio stations in 1996 when the telecommunications bill was passed, which deregulated radio ownership. Clear Channel now owns more than 1,200 radio stations. Now, you've said that deregulation has been good for radio. How do you think it's been good for radio?
Prior to deregulation occurring in 1996, it's important to remember that a significant number, some have placed it as high as 60% of the radio stations in the country, were losing money. Many of them were in danger of actually going off the air, going dark. And I think first and foremost, what deregulation has done is it has revitalized the radio industry. The radio business today is in significantly better shape than it was in those, what I like to think of as, unfortunately, dark days of radio back before deregulation.
Do you think it's revitalized radio in terms of profits, or do you think it's revitalized radio in terms of programming as well?
Well, I think both of those, and I think it's also, I'll say, rejuvenated radio as well in terms of a medium in people's minds. I think in terms of content and the quality of programming, it's my opinion that radio is much better today and that it is much more diverse today than it was in 1996, again, as a result of deregulation. And the sort of the backup for that is that prior to companies being able to own multiple stations in a market, you would have multiple companies all vying for dominance of the same opportunity. You would have two, three companies all trying to be the country station, or two or three or four stations trying to be the adult contemporary radio stations, multiple companies all vying for the same piece of audio real estate. And so I think deregulation has led, contrary to popular opinion, popular but unfortunately misinformed opinion, it has led to greater format diversity.
Well, give me an example of a market where Clear Channel has a lot of stations and you feel that those stations represent this new diversity that you're talking about.
I'll give you an example in Los Angeles, where today we have 8 radio stations there, one of which is a nostalgia station, 570 AM. Prior to deregulation, the likelihood of having a nostalgia station was really pretty limited in that market. We also have a sort of a urban Spanish hip-hop station, K-Hot, and that format would have been highly unlikely prior to deregulation. We have a CHR station. We have an AC station. We have a hot AC station, and we have a soft AC station. If you go back to pre-deregulation, what you would have found was that that market would have had two or three similar formats, all owned by different owners, all competing for the same hill. What it has allowed us to do is to increase the format diversity. It's also allowed other owners to diversify their formats as well. And I think the end result is that the Los Angeles listener has much more choice today than they did pre-1996.
But isn't competition supposed to be a good thing?
Competition is supposed to be a good thing. I don't see the connection between having greater format diversity and less competition. Keep in mind that there are virtually no radio listeners, with the possible exception of a few NPR listeners, but there are no listeners who only listen to a single radio station. One of the beauties of radio is that people have multiple choices. And so there is ongoing and built-in competition. Listeners have probably more than most mediums that I can think of have, or most media that I can think of have choices.
Let's go over some of the concerns that have been raised about the number of stations owned by Clear Channel. It's over 1,200 stations.
About 1,229.
Thank you. One of the most common concerns that you hear expressed is that this limits diversity and limits regional identity. Now, you've already addressed the diversity question. Many of the stations owned by Clear Channel use programs that are voice-tracked. They're pre-recorded by a disc jockey who is in another city or state, and those voice tracks can be customized a bit for the local station, but they're still kind of, you know, being recorded someplace else by somebody who's not really in the region. Listeners don't necessarily know that. Good thing, bad thing?
Well, I'm going to back up. Before I answer that, I want to talk about the consolidation part of it first. We do own 1,229 radio stations. That represents somewhere around 11% of the 12 to 13,000 commercial radio stations in the country. I don't see any way possible to conclude that that this is a consolidated industry, or that Clear Channel has any sort of real dominance inside that industry. It is a common misperception that we own a far greater percentage of the radio stations that are out there than we actually do. Somewhere less than 12% of the radio stations in the country are owned by Clear Channel. What is also important to understand is that in 1996, every single company in the country, every single individual in the company, had the same opportunity to grow their businesses as did Clear Channel. And I actually believe that it's a great American success story. I look at what we have done as an example of good old-fashioned American initiative and success.
Let's get to the issue of voice tracking.
Yes.
Do you share the concern that this is kind of, you know, like homogenizing programming, and also that, you know, regional identity is being taken away, and that people often don't even realize that the host who sounds like maybe they're local isn't even in the same city or state?
I absolutely disagree with all of that, and I want to back up and correct a comment that you made. It is not many of our markets. In fact, less than 10% of our shifts, of the day parts on our radio stations. In fact, it's 9% have imported day parts. We do employ the available technology to record some of our shifts. The vast majority of that is done by local announcers and DJs in their markets. I will admit readily that it is extraordinarily different than the way radio was done even when I started some 20 years ago. But I would also say that anybody with an open mind would have to agree that it really results in different but certainly better radio. It allows us to put much better talent in more places than ever before. It allows us to, I think, provide much better content for listeners, certainly better packaging for listeners than they have ever had. There has always been a concern that as radio changed, and it's been one of radio's greatest strengths, is it's been able to reinvent itself and to morph over time. There's always been a concern that somehow it's not been as local or not been as good as it was in the past, and I really dispute that. Radio is an inherently local medium, and as a radio company and personally as a radio broadcaster, I get the absolute importance of connecting on a local level with our listeners. It's why we employ over 900 program directors who are all based in markets, local markets, their home markets all across the country. It's why we have such an incredible emphasis on providing local news, weather, traffic, sports information, school closings, blood drives, all of the things that people want to know about their local communities.
Let me ask you about playlists. Since Clear Channel owns more than 1,200 stations, there's a lot of concern that Clear Channel could, you know, control what's heard and what's not, who gets a hit, who doesn't, who gets airplay, who doesn't. How are playlists created for the Clear Channel music stations?
Clear Channel playlists are created in essentially the same way in every market, and that is by the local markets. We have, as I said earlier, we have a tremendous belief in the power of local radio, which is why we employ 900 program directors and literally thousands more of programming staffers, music directors, assistant PDs, and so on to help gather the research that we do in local markets. We make literally millions of calls in markets all across the country to find out what our listeners hear. And the short, simple answer is that our playlists are determined by local program directors.
John Hogan is the CEO of Clear Channel Radio. He and Eric Bollert will be back in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. We're considering how radio has changed since it was deregulated in 1996 by the Telecommunications Act. Let's get back to our interview with John Hogan, the CEO of Clear Channel Radio. It owned about 40 stations before the 1996 deregulation and now owns over 1,200. Another perception that some people have of Clear Channel is that Clear Channel censors musicians because of their political point of view. For example, right before the war with Iraq, some Clear Channel stations had rallies, sponsored rallies, in support of the war. And the Dixie Chicks, who had made strong anti-war statements, didn't get airplay on several Clear Channel stations. And I think one Clear Channel station actually had a CD burning of Dixie Chicks recordings. So do you think it's fair to say that Clear Channel sometimes censors artists because of their political beliefs?
No. And let me back up. And before we talk about fair, let's talk about accurate. First of all, it was not a Clear Channel radio station that had a CD burning. It was another media company, Cumulus. Second of all, Clear Channel made absolutely unequivocally no decisions about what our radio stations can or cannot play. We leave those decisions to local program directors in their markets. The other thing that you mentioned was that we staged rallies for the war. That's inaccurate on two counts. We did not stage anything. Glenn Beck, who is an on-air host, staged rallies for America, which were rallies for the troops. There was not a stance one way or the other than to support the fighting men and women of the United States. Yes, Clear Channel radio stations participated in some of those events. 13 radio stations, which is roughly 0.1% of the radio stations in our company, chose at the local level, chose to participate in Glenn Beck's Rallies for America. The fact of the matter is that those rallies were initiated by another company. And it was a company, Susquehanna Broadcasting. Glenn Beck happens to be on one of their radio stations. A listener called in. An idea was born. I think it was creative. I think it was innovative. And I think that Clear Channel has largely been miscast as the originator. I will tell you that we are completely and totally apolitical. It makes no difference to us whether it's a conservative, a liberal, a libertarian, whatever it is. We are in the business of attracting listeners. We're not in the business of propagating a certain political agenda. It's just bad business. To somehow construe that Clear Channel has a political agenda is just, it's not only inaccurate, it is completely opposite of our entire operating philosophy.
Now, Clear Channel bought the company SFX, which is a concert promotion company, and it also owns some artist management companies. So now Clear Channel owns radio stations, concert promotion companies, artist management companies, and I believe it also owns some performance venues as well. So there's this fear that some people have in the music industry that you have to play ball now with Clear Channel. If you go with a competitor for your management or for your performance venue, you know, you can be blacklisted by Clear Channel because you own parts of all of that, on every level of that. What's your response to people who have that fear that, you know, you got to play ball with Clear Channel in every facet of your career or else you're going to be shut out?
You know, my reaction is fairly heated. We don't do business that way. And I would encourage anybody who has that fear to come in and sit down and talk with us. Never have done business that way, never will do business that way. It is, again, a misperception or a misunderstanding about the company. I'll give you a great example. Clear Channel Entertainment aggressively pursued the opportunity to do the Britney Spears concert tour a couple years ago. It was something that we really wanted to have. Unfortunately, we lost out to a competitor. I can tell you that after we lost out on that opportunity to be the concert promoter, we actually increased the number of spins that Britney Spears had on Clear Channel radio stations. And I share that with you because there is absolutely, unequivocally no connection between what gets played on the radio and what concert tours or venues are chosen.
Another perception that some people have of Clear Channel. Clear Channel radio stations do promotional concerts in which artists are expected to help stations by performing for free, doing benefits. Artists have complained that they're virtually forced to play these concerts, and if they don't, they won't get airplay on Clear Channel stations. On the other hand, the artists say there are so many of these concerts that they can interfere with the musician's own tour schedules, and they can therefore interfere with the income that the musician is able to generate. What's your response?
My response is, I guess on public radio, I wouldn't be able to give you my off the top of my head response, which is a little coarse for your audience. We just don't do business that way. It's one of the reasons that we have changed the relationship that we had with independent promoters. We want to have direct relationships with artists. We are not in the same business as artists, but our businesses intersect. It is absolutely important for us to have good relationships with the artists, but more importantly, it is important for us to have relationships with our audiences. And there isn't an artist or a tour or a concert out there that is valuable enough to disrupt the relationship that we have with our listeners. And that's important because if we stopped playing what our listeners want to hear, we wouldn't be in business very long.
John Hogan, thank you very much for talking with us.
Great. Thanks, Terry. It was nice to talk with you.
John Hogan is the CEO of Clear Channel Radio. Earlier, we heard from Eric Bollert, who covers media deregulation for Salon.